As I was saying before I was interrupted there, the latter part of World War II, the Japanese constructed a range of underground tunnels in the area. Extensive in their grid-like structure, covering about 2.5 kilometers of tunnel underground, a walk were very impressive. But what was in fact quite annoying about the whole exercise was that they gave very little information about how many people were involved, or whether many people died in the food system. Anyway, it tends to happen too frequently. You don't get all the information you actually look for. Also, during this time, we managed to do a little walk across the canyon to the town of Kota Kadang. It was not really a town, it's a village which concentrates on silver. The quality is good, but there is not a great choice, leaving one slightly frustrated, despite having enjoyed the benefits. Seeing people make do this, how you make art, despite the benefit of seeing the people engaged in art or civil work on a factory. Oh, that sounds a lot better. Okay, the town of Bukittinggi is quite compact, despite being home to some 85,000 people. The market day of Wednesday was in the typical mold of market days elsewhere, but this time even better and bigger than earlier ones. Is there no end to this, better and bigger? This is serious stuff. There seemed no end to the range and variety of goods on offer. You could buy basically anything you wanted there, from electrical goods to foodstuffs to plasticware to brand names such as Blue Band Margarine, Sunlight Soap, Close Up Toothpaste. Yes, the impact of internationalism has certainly taken hold in this part of the world. There seemed no end to the range and variety of goods on offer. But the ground needs to be navigated quite carefully, and I'm always sure I have to have open shoes on it. There seems an even bigger variety of discarded items on that surface. Better not to look too closely. One evening, we took in a traditional Menikubo dance and music evening. Yes, the name Menikubo refers to this group of people that inhabit this area. An interesting and distinctive aspect of life, though, is in terms of their matrilineal society structure, where the family wealth passes to the eldest daughter, who this can't catch on around the world, and responsibility for the upbringing of the children is with the mother's birth. This certainly could add to a bit of complexity in life. But anyway, the people seem quite happy with this lifestyle, so that's it. Then, Islamic law entitles a man to a maximum of 4 wives, provided the first wife gives her permission. This practice is under threat as the government is trying to curb population growth. Now, in the government departments, there is a requirement that a man must decide whether he wants his job or whether he wants a second wife. He can't have both. Anyway, to return to the music and digress slightly, an interesting instrument in use is a series of brass gongs in parallel. 8 gongs by 2 gongs, making 16 in all for the mathematically disinclined, each of which gives a different sound from struck. With 5 musicians playing a series of these gongs, the range of notes is quite varying and quite pleasant in contrast to some of the other local music, which is in general quite monotonous in tone. The music complemented, or is it supplemented, the dancing, which involves the whole body, as it does most of Eastern dancing, in its graceful movements. The 1.5 hour performance passed all too quickly, surely a good sign in itself. But I particularly remember the display of self-defense, referred to as Silek in this part of the world, with its gradual build-up as two fighters, actors, players, stalked each other before pouncing in a vicious manner upon each other, that is. It is similar in technique to other Eastern forms of self-defense. Well, why not just call it self-attack, seeing that some half, maybe more than half, the participants are always attacking. And it does make Western evolved forms of fighting, such as boxing, seem very primitive in technique, tactics, and mental involvement. A day trip in the area, the local roads seemed far better than the trams and market roads, took us to a coffee plantation, where they also grew cinnamon, cloves, and chilies. Coffee in either bean or flower form. Does, as you already know, have no smell, this coffee at all. until dried in the sun. But the flower itself is a very distinctive and sweet smell. Also learned about the three different types of bananas. Eating bananas, the roasting bananas, and the other type of bananas. I don't know. It seems crazy as you touch bananas. But anyway, we saw coffee and ground, bought some, and have been trying it since. Not too successful, I must say. Something different about it. Tends to leave a bit of a smudge above the top. Anyway, on this day of travel, which was an organized tour, enjoyed one of the best meals of the day. The traditional food of the area is referred to as Nasi Padang. Padang being the provincial area, and Nasi being the local word for rice. In a typical restaurant, there is even now a specialist chain of such restaurants, the Roda Baru. The food is on display in the window. Warm, that is not cold, but certainly not hot, as most Europeans tend to like their food. This is leaving aside the spice side, which is a completely different subject. You get a bowl of rice, and you order what you want from what is available. A typical dish costs between a half and $1, and it's either of meat form, chicken, beef, or pork, or parts of various self-same animals, such as brains, or chickens, or livers, and fish. It is difficult to try everything on your own in a particular place, and even with a couple of people, it's fairly difficult to get to a good selection. But with a group of five to stay, we had something like the region of 18 different dishes arranged in a dazzling array of colours and hidden tastes upon the table before us. They included the large goldfish, with a smooth texture and a very sweet taste, very pleasant indeed. We had seen some of its members of its family in the various pools earlier on. Normally a delicacy in this part of the world, and for special occasions only, it does not often find itself in the normal menu. Of the 18 dishes or so, I enjoyed something like 12. I was so on three, and I could try one of the other three again, or two of the other three again, if my taste buds evaporated. One of them was just equivalent of rubber. Kamet, I think, is a very local word for rubber. New Year's Eve was different by all accounts. It was celebrated by travellers in the town. We quite mean about 40, 50 of us gathered around at that point. Maybe not many travellers in this way. And the attendant ticket touts, who seemed very conversant in English, always waiting for their prey to wait and sign up on yet another tour. New Year's Day saw me engaged in the frantic activity of getting a local, typically local bus to the town of Padang, further south, in the southwesterly direction. The buses are frequent and leave when full, probably every 10-15 minutes. I decided to watch the first bus and plan a boarding strategy for me and my rucksack. How best to get aboard, preferably getting me and the baggie on at the same time. I quickly learned by this exercise that there was no point at all to this exercise. Second bus arrived, and I shoved forward, along with everybody else. But it should be noted that before the bus is half empty of its incoming passengers, it is now 2/3 full. This is getting technically difficult physically. With the outgoing passengers, needless to say, I was too polite, therefore failed. I decided to take a more ruthless approach to the next one. That is, a locally accepted push and shove between my bag and myself. I must weigh up close on twice the average weight of anybody else. So I was going to be ruthless. The bag is pretty hard in the corners. The crowd, you have mentioned the word queue, for the third bus was fortunately smaller, and I got off. The bag threw in at the back, into the eyes, an aisle more designed for the dwarfs than for adults, and I boarded. Besides this bit of excitement, the trip down was very pleasant, again through very pleasant mountain scenery, lovely views out over the passing sea. And then taking about some 2.5 hours, quite uneventful. Leaving aside that it's New Year's Day, the town of Padang has a dead air to it. Some may call it a slumbering atmosphere, but so I think that it's been a bit too pleasant. The market was big and busy, as typical. There is no supermarket as such in this part of the world. A few small shops exist for odds and ends in the food line, and the market provides all else. A large number of small stalls, similar stalls being gathered together. So, there was me standing out like a chili on a dessert counter. On my second night, this is one of my hometown, following a day which confirmed my judgment about the place. The second night anyway, there was I, sitting back in the place, trying to write off the story, when I hear this English commentary coming from the TV. Now, normally not too interested in TV, I certainly haven't seen too much of it recently. Went across, and there was. Yes, an English commentary on an Italian soccer league game, televised in full on local TV. Halftime commentary was in Indonesian. But for the rest of the game, I seem to be the only person, certainly in this area, and probably in Padang, that had any idea of what was actually going on. There's not too many other Europeans around this part of the world. Yes, another day rules. Yes, it's time to get moving again. Monday the 3rd of January. Time is now flying into the air. The rocky road to God knows where. Oh yes, I did say I'll come back to you about where Murder's Merapi Coffee, didn't I? Merapi is the name of the volcano. That is what I mean by is Merapi Coffee. If it's spewing forward ash. Pretty good. Okay. Monday the 3rd, the rocky road to God knows where. But it's the how that is important, not the where. This next leg saw me buy a 16-hour bus ticket for a journey along the west coast, still heading in a southerly direction. I was quite wise at this stage and was asking in my good, broken, Bahasa Indonesian how long the bus journey would take. 16 hours, I was told. I even got it in writing. Due to the part at about 12, we eventually left at 3, and then started to collect up other passengers because the bus wasn't full. Anybody else was going along the way down, so, just gets you. Anyway, despite the fact that we had two drivers, we eventually stopped at 1 a.m. following morning for a period of 5 hours at a roadside cafe, or warung, as they're loyally referred to. Not very much to do with that, seeing I'd done most of my sleeping on the bus on the way through. There was a thin rail of dense foliage between us and the sea. I couldn't even get through it as I tried to walk that morning. Anyway, eventually at about 6, we began to pull ourselves together and headed off. I was beginning to wonder how long a 16-hour bus journey was going to take. Naturally, we had lost some of our passengers on our way south. Now we needed to replenish until the bus was full. So we drove around, up this road, down that road, pulled into a village, horn beaten, full on. The people came out, "You want to go here?" "Yeah, we want to go there." "Great, yeah." Eventually, we began to sort of move in a definitely southerly direction. Many people would find this frustrating, but I think once you sort of know what's going to happen, then it does happen, and at least smile about it. Anyway. Where were we? Yeah, we eventually arrived after 4. That was some 28 hours after the supposed departure. It was a long day. That is the only way to describe it. Average speed when driving was about 40 kilometers, which I managed to work out between my map and the passing time. It helps to have some calculations to do when you're on such a journey. Funny enough, I actually felt fresh in the end. I must be getting hardened to all this kind of travel, despite the fact that there was 3 people in close proximity of me who managed to fulfill a sick bag on the way down, just get here for a while. A surprising aspect of this trip was the housing along the roadside. Now, I had expected to see a couple of villages with large gaps between them, but seeing a never-ending stream of houses, never more than one deep on one side, maybe on 2 sides of the road. Population distribution is certainly a lot higher in this part than I expected. Bang goes the idea of setting up someplace in that part of the world. Get away from it all. Anyway, that now concludes this section. I shall now need to return to you with some more details in the town of Bengkulu. Yes, and as promised, we do return to you. This short phase of this great trip, I think, should be referred to as what happened. Although not quite yet Monday the 10th of January, I seem to be spending quite a bit of time here, in total over 7 nights. When I look back on this trip, I would probably just wonder how I ended up spending so much time here, because I just don't know. I just like the place. That is a quail. 3 or 4 days here would have been quite sufficient for what I needed to do, and that is to plan where I'm going. Now, a map should generally help explain my dilemma, so if you grab yourself a map, you can actually try and understand it with me. I'm now down there towards the southern end of Sumatra. The countries I want to go visit now are Java, Bali Island, Nusa Tenggara, right out to Timor, and then slightly in a northerly direction, I want to visit Sulawesi and Kalimantan. Kalimantan being on the island of Borneo, and also the Malaysian districts of Sarawak and Sabah. That's quite a mouthful to actually handle over the next 3 months, 4 months maybe. And is the only constraint I have, you know, who mentioned money? Nobody mentioned money. No, money's not the constraint. The constraint is that you've only spent 60 days in Indonesia at any one stretch, and then you've got to fly out and fly back, maybe on the same plane, but you've got to leave. That costs money. Or a pointless flight unless you're doing something special with it. So, the need was to actually do a bit of planning, and hence the need for about 2 days of detailed reading of bus trips, boat trips, plane availabilities, and a whole lot. At the end of it, I feel quite happy that everything is actually there, and I have my itinerary drawn up. So perhaps this whole time here hasn't been too wasted. The town itself, thankfully, is very, very quiet. I definitely seem to be the only European around here. I've been walking around and I've not seen anybody else of similar complexion. Talking about complexion, I was quite pleasantly, horrifically surprised. I don't know, shocked is probably a more appropriate word. And yesterday was, I spent a brief 20 minutes lying on the beach. There is a beautiful, long, grey beach here. Beautiful, I'm probably stretching it a bit, but it's very quiet and peaceful. A bit too quiet and peaceful maybe sometimes, but there was I lying 20 minutes on the beach in my swimming trunks, and I just noticed myself getting red blotches on my skin. I guess sunburnt in 20 minutes. Sun must be pretty warm. Must be one of the benefits of being close to the sun at the equator. Anyway, I survived that. The food here is great. Seafood is very, very cheap. I think the most expensive dish I come across is a lobster. Cost me something like $6, but that's about £4 or thereabouts. Excellent value. In the local market again, it's a bit of bartering and that for fruit and that bits and also on. And really, it's now Saturday and I don't know what I'm going to do until Tuesday. Monday is in fact a public holiday here, so that's the one reason for not travelling on Monday. I prefer to travel on those wonderful days when there's less traffic than normal. And on that day then I shall then head south towards Jakarta. It's a 24-hour bus journey. Only 24 hours. That's including the ferry crossing to Merak on the Java side. And with that, we shall now sign off. And check the tape to see if there is actually worthwhile continuing with this tape, or should I just send it to you? Tuesday and Wednesday, exiting the big S, because something short. The bus stood, the routine typical, the feeling of physical isolation and mental solitude, again, a repeat prescription. It is the sheer pace, that is the snail pace, certainly not the comet-like pace, that deadens the porpoise to a coma-like state. The mind switching off, the body restoring the requisite defenses against the environment. In other words, not much to say, and the novelty of travelling by bus is now a routine of inconsequence. The last stop in Sumatra was yet another of those great bus stations, this time slowly moving into weird propulsion in the early hours of There was a slogan, Tom's Racing, on the back of one of those buses. What it means, I never found out, and probably never will know. This brings to mind the fact that the colours of these buses are more in tune with the colours, racing colours as such. No required pattern, no scheme, just a haphazard array of colours. The ferry trip to Jakarta was equally unexciting as the bus journey. It's when you get unexciting travel like this that the colours of buses begin to get common upon. The small harbour, sweltering in the heat. The never-ending supply of blood stemming from the Trans-Sumatran arterial highway. That is blood in the form of transport. Okay, yep. What was that? Yes, that represented the real life blood of Sumatra. Java, Lapa Lampre, filled with significantly more people. We entered Jakarta in the northwest of the country, in the easterly direction, stopping eventually at a station which felt, funny how you're getting different feelings sometimes, but I felt very far from whence I knew I should be. Eventually, arriving at the enclave of Jalan Jaksa, I found myself lodging, cold beer, and a good night's sleep, as well as some food. But that indicates the priority that was required at that point in time. Who said I was getting hard to kind of travel? Thursday to Sunday. The counter, large, very much of a sprawling city. There is no real city centre to the place. There is just an endless collection of buildings. With great wealth and poverty together, just like gums and teeth, like that analogy. But I won't develop it too much further because I'm not sure which cause the other two become rotten first. The city permits few high-rise buildings and has a few more, in fact, than are actually permitted by the letter of the law. A useless fact gained from reading the local newspaper. Sumatra and Java used to be rival island powers until the current mosaic-like structure was pulled together by the Dutch and presently held together by the Java-dominated population. Java's population represents some 70% of the total population of 108 million. The last census was in 82, and there has been much population growth since then. The National Museum is one of the few joys of this city, where survival is so critical for so many. It has an extensive, and to some extent, very exhaustive. How many kinds of blue and white pottery can you see from the certain dynasty? Exhaustive display of all aspects of crafts, reflecting the way of life. But a key to even one without feeling that you are looking at the constituent materials of the mosaic and not at the patterns themselves. This is part of the pattern reflected so typically in the city and in this country. The pattern again is repeated at the National Monument, or alternatively dubbed as Sukarno's last direction. Sukarno was a political leader subsequent to the Second World War, who embarked on many expansive socialist programs until the army moved him aside in the mid-50s. But it is a reflection of historical events in the basement of this building, a 130-meter column into the sky, with a viewing platform on the top, and a gold flame stemming from the top seems to shape the center represent a candle. But back to the base, where I found the reflection of historical events displayed to represent nothing more than a travesty. I love that word travesty. A travesty of fair historical analysis. In essence, a fairy tale story of historical evolution without the souls of temples. More ideal for the many passing schoolgirl and for any adult who would care to ask a question, even a simple question. Of more interest and less controversy was a visit to the old harbour, the new one now being to the northeast of the town, with its many old, but certainly still looking very shipshape, Macassar schooners. most of which were busy discharging stone lumber or taking on building material in the form of cement or steel rods. The process of development of the neighboring Kalimantan state, that is, substituting concrete for trees. A serious issue in this part of the world, believe it or not. Three aspects of life in Sumatra, but Jakarta in particular, as I approach the end of my stay here, involving very different aspects of life. One of the striking things is the number of people required to do anything, particularly in the government departments. It takes 3 to 4 traffic police per junction to smooth the flow of traffic in the morning, where one should have been able to do the job. Even buses are staffed by 3, a driver, 2 assistants. One assistant at the front door, the other assistant at the back door. I don't think these refer to entry points or exit points, they just refer to access points, access out or access in. 2 assistants collect the money and tell people on the street side, do you want to go here, do you want to go there? Yeah, I think you may know the bathroom by now, but this isn't a city. A city is less noisy than a damn circle, a little bit more civilized. The English newspapers, one I think, the Jakarta Post, practice a wonderful form of self-censorship on any matters which could be judged critical of the government. And it isn't reading the papers, it is hilarious to try reading between the lines. Not literally, because there's nothing printed there, you know, to try and gain a better understanding of what they're trying to say, or not say. And finally, the final comment on the city of Jakarta is that it was the first place in 2 months. Of course, maybe a city of 9 million is the biggest city I've been to, but I felt the physical state of life to be a little bit more important than normally judged. I took refuge occasionally in taxis. Departing Jakarta on the 17th of January, the plan was put together in Bengkulu was roughly being followed, give or take a few bits and pieces naturally, and heading towards. Where was I heading? Yes, I'm here now. I'm heading towards Borneo. But the early morning departure between 5:30 and 6 in order to avoid the traffic jams in the early hours provided the final glimpse of many faces heading to work. The faces could probably tell many stories of the hardship in this large and characteristic of faces representing many unseen, unheard, but unknown characters. Just one of those big problems of big cities. And with that, I will definitely post this off. Otherwise, it will never get anywhere. Noise in the background is passing traffic in 2 stories below in the streets of Kuching in the province of Sarawak on the island of Borneo. And with that, I'll say bye-bye.